clear well before now. The UN report projects that nearly 670 million people, or around 8% of the world's population, will still be facing hunger at the end of this decade. These are depressing figures for humanity. We continue to move away from our goal of ending hunger by 2030, IFAD President Gilbert F. Hogbo said, referring to the 2030 Agenda of Sustainable Development, which was adopted by all UN member states 7 years ago. The ripple effects of the global food crisis will most likely worsen the outcome again next year, he added. Oxfam Sarinen warned that we will not break the vicious cycle of hunger and food inflation without addressing the deep inequalities fueling them. We must fundamentally reimagine a new, more just and sustainable global food system, one that serves the planet and millions of people, rather than a handful of big agribusinesses, she asserted. Noting the dramatic shortfalls in pledged funding for anti-hunger initiatives in places like East Africa, where tens of millions of people are facing famine amid a historic drought, Sarinen said that governments must stop making empty promises or creating more bureaucratic processes. Instead, they need to invest in small-scale food producers and food workers, she argued. They need to repurpose global agriculture and food system to better serve the health of the people, our planet, and our economies. Sarinen added, Western governments must also free up resources, including by taxing food companies and billionaires in order to invest in diverse, local, sustainable food production that helps countries to become less dependent on food imports and support smallholder food producers, especially women.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. You're listening to analysis on the most important events taking place in the Islamic calendar. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Alavi. Sayyid Alavi, assalamu alaikum, welcome to
you. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My salams to you and the dear audience. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much.
So, Zulhijjah 18th, let's get back to, we can say, to the history and back time, the year 10th of Hijrah, of course. After Hijrah, a very important event took place, and that is Prophet Muhammad is on his way back from Hajjat al-Wada.
Yeah.
So in the middle of the way, in a place called Qadir Khum, you know, he stops all the companions, all the travelers, you know, waits for the others to join him to give a very important news. Usually Ayatul Tabligh and Ayatul Ikmal are referred to in reference to, we can say, the Qadir Khum event which took place in the 10th Hijra year, but the case is the Nu'man ibn Haris complains about selection of Imam Ali alayhi salam to Prophet Muhammad,
right,
and say, if this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show me. And all of a sudden a stone is thrown on the head and the man is killed, and all of a sudden this ayah is revealed. Okay,
right.
So this is according to many commentators and interpreters of the Holy Quran exegetes, you know, referring to the selection of Imam Ali alayhi salam as the wali, as the successor of Prophet Muhammad. So now this is the major question. Why still, with all these vivid, clear references and documents, the majority of the population of people and the Muslims do not see such a right, I mean, during the history? Allama Amini wrote a voluminous book, Al-Hadir.
Right.
And most of the references are taken from our Sunni brethren, okay? Why are you still not seeing that? What's the reason?
If I may jump here, Sheikh.
Okay,
look, before that question,
you, okay?
Before that question, we need to first of all address the question, because now I feel that we jumped a little bit forward.
Okay.
For our audience, they need to have a clear picture. If someone comes forth and asks the questions, why didn't anyone object? You say, you followers of Ahlul Bayt, say that now we are skipping the Quran now,
looking
at the history and the narrations. So you say that all these companions were there. Why didn't anyone object? We need to clear that question first and then jump to that issue with
why there was no objection
Muslims not following
to the successorship of Imam Ali.
Yes. Why didn't anyone object? If everyone saw it and everyone understood what it meant, why didn't anyone
there
object?
There was an objection. I said, Nu'man ibn Haris, but it was answered.
Then we have much more reasons. Other reasons. Did Imam Ali object? Did Imam Ali in somewhere, some place say anything about this during how many years?
25
years. We need to address this, but with your permission.
No problem.
All right.
Go for that.
So number one, following the crowd mentality, majority of us people, human beings, we follow the majority. So when you have influential people in your tribe who followed one path, usually the majority followed their path. It's a traditional way. When they paid allegiance, the whole tribe members follow their leader.
Okay.
That's one reason. I'm making it very short now. Number two, jealousy. This disease that we have in our nafs,
hasad,
called hasad, jealousy against Imam Ali alayhi salam. Many companions of Rasulullah were jealous.
Yes.
That is a dimension that we need to address. The knowledge, the piety, the swordmanship, the chivalry of Imam Ali was famous among everyone.
Yes.
Number three, Imam Ali himself objected. And he was dragged to the mosque. You want narrations about that? Well, didn't Imam Ali in letter number 28 in Nahjul Balagha, the peak of eloquence, say in the middle of that letter, answer to whom? Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan.
Yes.
And everyone, I think, from all denominations, know him.
Yes.
Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Didn't Imam Ali say that, and you... Let me quote it. I want to quote this one. You also wanted to taunt me. He's answering Muawiyah. You also wanted to taunt me by saying that when I refused to accept the khilafah of the first caliph, I was dragged like a camel with a rope round my neck.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how that sounds for you guys, but me, being a revert of Islam, and after 7 years at the age of 22, becoming a follower of the school of Ahlul Bayt, this was an explosion. I don't know about you guys, with your background.
Okay.
This might be, you know, you drink a glass of water on it. like the Persians
say.
No,
this is a blast.
But this is an explosion, okay? This is an explosion. You have Nahjul Balagha in all libraries, in all mosques, in all denominations, okay? The same letter that I have seen in
letter
mosque,
28.
Letter number 28, Nahjul Balagha. So, and then he continues, you wanted to taunt me by saying that I was dragged like a camel with a rope around my neck. And every kind of cruelty and humiliation was leveled against me.
That's right.
But you know what? He says to Muawiyah, there is no disgrace for a Muslim if he is subjected to tyranny and suppression.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There is no ar. There is no ar on that person.
Okay.
That is being humiliated and subject to suppression, so long as he is firm in his faith and belief in Allah and religion. And then he continues.
Okay.
That part was as an explosion.
That's right.
Okay. Right?
Yes.
Well, what about Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Didn't he write a letter to whom? To Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Now, I want Sheikh to continue.
Okay.
I've talked a lot here. But there are many, many arguments here.
A person
in front
was nurtured
me.
By Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Yes, Muhammad exactly. Ali. Exactly. Yeah. The son of Abu Bakr that was nurtured by, lived in the house of Imam Ali. Yes.
That's all right. So why not seeing such a big event in the history of Islam and not believing in that? And does believe in such a concept? I mean, considering Ali ibn Abi Talib as your Wali and as your Mawla, has something to do with the completion of your religion, Shaykh. Maybe some of our Thani brethren think that this concept has nothing to do with the completion of your religion, and Islam is Islam. Without Wali, is Islam, because it has so many other parts too. Maybe 5, 10% is being Mawla and Wali. 90% are something else.
First of all, we should understand that the position or the status of a prophet and his successor is something that is chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's a divine position.
Okay.
Imamah and prophethood, both of them are a divine position.
Okay.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides about this position. Whom should be put in this position? This is the first important point. You know, no one elect a prophet. Same as the case with the successor.
Okay.
Because we do not know who should be the leader, who should be the successor of a prophet.
Yes.
Because there are certain qualities that is hidden from us, and we do not know. So that's why we believe that this position is a divine position. This is the first point, that no one can gather in a place and elect a successor for a prophet. It had not happened for the rest of the prophets, never in the history. This is the first point.
Right.
The second point is that Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi wasalam, in many occasions himself referred to this Ghadir.
There we go.
Okay.
So first was in the Shura.
Yes.
In Shura, he referred to this
Hadith,
and he objected against Uthman, that why you're at the time of Uthman, again he referred to this
Shura you're referring to.
In the battlefield of Siffin, he referred to that. In the battlefield of Jamal, he referred. In many cases, Amir al-Mu'minin himself referred.
Okay.
So, and also, unfortunately, the last point that I want to mention, that why did majority of the people did not accept this?
I mean, but people tried, the Muslims, okay.
Yeah, try to ignore it.
Yes.
And why is that?
Yes, yes.
Look, when the first caliph, Abu Bakr, was appointed as a caliph, Abu Sufyan referred to Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi wasalam and told Amir al-Mu'minin that I can gather thousands of fighters here right now in Medina.
Right.
And I can do whatever you want because you deserve this position.
Yes.
Not them.
Okay.
Not them.
Could you repeat who said that?
Abu Sufyan.
Father of Muawiyah.
Yes. Abu Sufyan.
Abu Sufyan.
Then father of Muawiyah.
Father of Muawiyah, yes. Amir al-Mu'minin asked about his mentality, that why do you want to do this? And Abu Sufyan said that because, according to the tribal values that we have, you deserve this position because you belong to Bani Hashim. Amir al-Mu'minin said, no, this intention that you have is not a true intention.
Mm-hmm.
If by this intention you support me, so tomorrow you can do whatever you want with Islam, as they did in the history of Islam.
He was the head of one of the greatest tribes in that time, Abu Sufyan, you know. Maybe they
had a lot of contacts.
Yes.
And unfortunately, since Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salatu Ali alayhi salatu wasalam killed many of the heroes of the Arabs. So then they were really jealous of Amir al-Mu'minin.
Okay.
They were like enemies of Amir al-Mu'minin.
Yes.
because of this, they were also a little bit, we can say,
looking for a chance in order
to remove, to ignore Amir al-Mu'min Ali,
to take revenge.
This is one of the cases, that could be mentioned.
That's all right.
Could I mention one and add a little bit more on what the Sheikh said? Imam Ali said, stand up when he was the Khalifa.
Yes.
Now I want to jump to his Khilafah. Yes. Sheikh mentioned this incidents before the Khilafah. Yes. Very good. Now at the time of his Khilafah, at the peak of his power, stand up if you have been present in Ghadir. Didn't Imam Ali say that on the pulpit?
Oh.
Anas ibn Malik, according to history, had something called in Arabic al-Baras.
Yes.
Leprosy.
Yes.
Okay, which was evident in his face.
Mm-hmm.
Some people mentioned that Ali, radiyallahu anhu, I'm quoting here,
yes,
asked him regarding the saying of the Messenger of Allah, mm-hmm, praise and peace of Allah be upon him, not Ali, O Allah, lead the one who accepts his leadership and be the enemy of the one who towards him has animosity.
Yes.
He, Anas, said, I have grown old in age. So Imam is asking him in the crowd, why don't you stand up? You were there in Al-Ghadir. Why don't you stand up? Imam Ali is in the minbar. He's the Khalifa. Anas says, look, I have grown old in age and I have forgotten.
Yes.
Anas ibn Malik was 10 years at the house of the Prophet. So Imam Ali said to him, if you were lying, if you are lying,
yes,
then may Allah strike you with whiteness that shall not be hidden by a turban. That whiteness is that it's what the Arabs called al-baras,
yes,
which is leprosy.
That's right. And,
the historical narration said that it happened.
It happened. That's all right. Okay. And so many other incidents referring
to... Yes. Ash-Sheikh Shaqiyya is another one.
Yes,
khutbah number two.
Yes.
Very important one.
Yes. So many clear, and as I said, vivid documents, crystal clear documents, referring to Qadir Khum event which took place on Zilhajjah 18th. And I think that this one is a really a celebration for the Muslim lands, because upon a divine selection,
right,
the true successor of Prophet Muhammad is going, is going to be selected and lead the community and the Ummah. And this is a good news, I think, for the people and the Muslims.
I apologize. How many minutes do we have? Can I finish it with two more? We're done with the
there
time.
There are still so many documents, the document.
We need to clarify the major ones.
Maybe
in another program.
Yeah,
sorry.
We are. That's right for this episode. Still so many things to say. But if interested, dear listeners, they can refer to Al Qadir by Allama Amini, Abaqat al Anwar fi Imamat Aimat al Adhar by Mir Hamid Hussein. This is another book. Another important book, which is really important, Al-Ghadir wal-Mu'arizun, Sayyid Jafar Murtaza al-Amili, the outstanding Lebanese scholar. These three
can
books,
I add a... Because these books are a little bit heavy. Can I say Dr. Tijani? These books are very heavy. Al-Ghadir with, those volumes and
because
all of that. And Allama Jafari. These are very heavy books, but... for those others who want to read a more easier book, straightforward, Dr. Tijani and Al Muraja'at are very good.
Milan,
that's
are
right.
Really short and very precise and concise.
That's right. Okay. It was very nice of you, Sayyid Alawi and Sheikh
Rouhani,
for your presence in the program. Viewpoints talking about Qadir al-Khum events. And I would like again to express my congratulations on this happy aid to all the Muslims around the world. Whether Ali ibn Abi Talib is your imam or not, he is the source of light and benefit for all the Muslims. Believe me, brothers and sisters, and Muslims all across the world. Thank you very much for listening to us, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information on this program and to download for free our other episodes, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Life is not the same when I concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since you're still in holiday mood after celebrating Eid al-Adha or the Feast of Sacrifice yesterday, let us listen to a mind-stimulating statement from Imam Ali al-Naghi al-Hadi, peace be upon him, the 10th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The phrase Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, meaning in the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate, is as near to the most exalted name of God as the iris is to the white of the eye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. with the light.
A zoo in Mexico City celebrates the birthday of two very special residents, bringing cheers and excitement to visitors. Chinese pandas Xin Xin and Xuan Xuan have turned 35 and 33, becoming the oldest pandas in human captivity. China gifted their ancestors to Mexico back in 1975 to boost the relationships between the two countries. Later on, and thanks to the hard work of caretaker teams, eight cubs were born from the parents. Zoo officials say for them, learning the A to Z of panda care was a long journey.
The pandas living in Chapultepec, Xuan Xuan and Xin Xin, turned 35 and 33 years old, respectively. When their parents arrived, we didn't know much about pandas, so vets and biologists had to follow recommendations from those who took care of giant pandas in the People's Republic of China. From then on, we evolved. We found new and better diets and daily care practices such as vaccine administration or parasite removal. Then they started to breed, which was quite a success since it was the first panda that was born and which survived named Toy.
The birthday celebration has coincided with the zoo's 99th foundation anniversary. A panda's normal lifespan is estimated at about 15 to 20 years for those out in nature and about 30 years for the ones in human care. But the good news is, despite their old age, Xuan Xuan and Xin Xin are in perfectly good shape. A goat in the Pakistani city of Karachi has made the headlines for its not-so-ordinary looks. The animal owns strikingly long ears. Simba was only born last month and his ears have already reached the length of 54 centimeters. The goat's breeder, Muhammad Hassan Narejo, says he has approached Guinness World Records to see if Simba can be included as the greatest of all time, or the goat, for this peculiar feature. The kid is in the center of attention, so he receives all sorts of help to live a smoother life. This includes a special harness for his ears and daily religious rituals to wish him good health. The breeder says that by promoting Simba's image, he is trying to introduce Pakistan as a major goat-breeding nation.
The sky is the limit for wind sports in Iraq's Kurdistan region as members of the paragliding team launched into the sunset. Tourists have also come to watch team members bravely run towards the edge of the cliff of Mount Asmar. They usually take off facing the west to catch the sunset and then glide down towards the gray green meadows. The windy landscape around Iraq's northeastern city of Sulaymaniyya is a hot spot for paragliding. Participants of the sport say it requires a lot of physical strength and mental concentration. Some say their favorite aspect of the activity is the intense silence when flying high above the ground. There are many big restaurants with Michelin stars awarded based on their quality. But you will be amazed to know that an eatery located in a tiny village in Greenland also has this badge of honor, making it the world's most remote Michelin-starred restaurant. This eatery in the village, which is home to only 53 people, serves you what it gets from its immediate surroundings. Looking out over the chilly North Atlantic, customers taste a variety of local products, ranging from whale skin to an Arctic bird whose entire wing, including feathers, is on the plate. The restaurant is so remote that you can only reach there by boat through floating icebergs. The head chef says he forages for wild berries, flowers, and herbs every day since the menu largely includes local flavors. A young British artist has found an incredible way to create art using not pen or paper, but typewriter. symbols and letters are turned into complex drawings by this 25-year-old's adept fingers, gaining him attention online. London-based James Cook, who studied architecture, used to draw portraits. But that all changed when he discovered his now signature tool, the typewriter, in 2014. He says the idea came to his mind when he came across Paul Smith, an artist from the 1920s who produced similar work. Initially, Cook thought it impossible, but he gave it a try. Now, after 8 years, he can draw complex images from Hollywood star Tom Hanks to the London Eye or the Millennium Bell. But while his works appear flawless to viewers, Cook says it never gets any easier and that it's always a challenge for him.
There's something really satisfying about kind of using this sort of limited palette of, you basically have about 44 keys on a typewriter on average. So you've got to kind of puzzle piece those letters, numbers, punctuation marks together to make a drawing.
Recently, online interest has encouraged Cook to pursue his passion. People donate their typewriters to Cook, who gives these machines a second life. He now has a collection of more than 40 typewriters dating from the early 20s.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Colombia's long hunt for a fabled Spanish ship, San Jose Galleon, that sank centuries ago, comes to an end. But the mission leads to two more nearby shipwrecks filled with treasures.
We have found two additional ships, one ship that is from the colonial period and another that, from the point of view of preliminary analysis, corresponds to the Republican period of our history. We also have related vessels, around a dozen similar boats, that will be located by our Navy.
The colonial-era vessels were found near Colombia's Caribbean port of Cartagena. A remotely operated vehicle reached 900 meters beneath to capture the shipwrecks and treasures inside them. San Jose Galleon sank in a deadly battle against English warships in 1708, taking with it billions in treasure. The Colombian president says the findings will be preserved and protected until extraction is done completely. The riches will then be displayed in museums.
Colombian scientists managed to reproduce an endangered species of frog, bringing it back from the brink of extinction. The scientists were able to reproduce 29 specimens of Lehman's poison frog after years of investigations and experiments using a lab built specifically for this species. They have released the frogs into the Colombian Pacific region with the hope of starting its repopulation.
We observe how the frogs adapt to this ecosystem, which is theirs, but it is a constant monitoring. And the idea is that of these first 29 frogs at the moment, there are really many more little frogs, and now we can tell the world that they are not in danger of extinction.
The scientists, however, warned that this particular species of frog is very difficult to reproduce or maintain under human care. They are also worried about the illegal trade of the frogs, which has already played a key role in pushing the rare species towards extinction. Colombia is home to over 700 frog species, more than any other country in the world except Brazil. In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor, before moving into administration and later on into the sales management. Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Othman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do. And there, you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here, and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Othman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Othman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity. With soaring fuel prices, the importance of solar-powered vehicles is on the rise. Now, a Kashmiri math teacher has gone viral for creating a car powered by solar energy. The car, which is fully covered with solar panels, uses sunlight to charge its battery. The vehicle also has a braking system that regenerates power to its batteries. The inventor of the car, Bilal Ahmed, says he has spent about $19,000 for his project and has not used external funds.
It was my dream to invent a solar car for the people of Kashmir. It took me 13 years to complete my dream. I'm thankful to the Almighty I succeeded in this project.
Bilal says he has built the car manually and without any automation. He hopes to put his fully automatic car into mass production to create jobs for local people.
Just like humans and animals, plants get sick too. But what do you do with an ill plant? An Indian man has found an answer to that. He has opened an emergency room only for plants in Amritsar, a city in India's Punjab state. A tax officer and his wife have set up the Pushpa Tree and Plant Hospital. In Pushpa, they have expert biologists and tree lovers on hand to provide the so-called sick patients with their essential nutrients. The clinic aims to treat any and every disease and even has an emergency vehicle on call for unhealthy trees around the city. The officer's wife says, just as we humans bleed, breathe, and need cures, plants also bleed, breathe, and need cures.
We provide approximately 32 various services for plants and trees, like if there's a nail in the tree, how to take out that nail, deep poisoning of the trees. Yes, you heard it right. There are people who poison the trees. Again, if the tree is not bearing fruits, there's an attack of mealybugs or another insects. That's also cured here. If the trees or plants are dying and you're unable to take care of them, even that problem is sorted out.
Only a month into the hospital's operation, Rohit Mehra and his team of 20 volunteers have already received more than 300 queries. The hospital is also completely free of charge.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Almighty. Dear brothers, dear sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam, and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic for this episode is Eid al-Qadir, Greatest Eid of Allah. Today, Monday, is the 11th of Zilhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to Allah's book, the Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 124.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين.
And mention, O Muhammad, when Abraham was tried by his Lord with commands and he fulfilled them. Allah said, Indeed, I will make you a leader for the people. Abraham said, And of my descendants? Allah said, My covenant does not include the wrongdoers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Precisely speaking, it is understood from the mentioned verse that the position and rank of imamate, which was bestowed upon Prophet Abraham alayhi salam only after successfully enduring those frequent difficult trials, was above and beyond the rank of prophethood. Besides that, imamate includes divine guidance too. It means the innate quality of the imam's spiritual influence and the attracting glow of pureness encompassing, deeply touching, and truly affecting the realm of receptive people's heart, which results in their spiritual guidance. On the continuation of today's special, Eid al-Qadir, Greatest Eid of Allah. Until the end of the world, whenever Muslims want to be guided by Allah so that they implement Islam and achieve the Islamic community, this will be the rule and regulation. They should revive imamate. Of course, they can never get close to any of the criteria and standards that Holy Prophet announced. They cannot even get close to lesser degrees. If we want to compare our greatest scholarly, spiritual, mystic, and philosophical personalities with the commander of the faithful Imam Ali, peace be upon him, they are like a faint ray of light. Now compare this with the sun of the course. They are the same, and they have the same radius. But what is the distance? How different they are from each other. Such distances exist, but this is the regulation of imamate, the regulation of government, power, and ruling in the Islamic community was determined by Qadir. This is significance of Qadir. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to disseminate the news and message of Qadir Khum. Initially, it must be indicated that the event of Qadir Khum was certainly a very important and noteworthy historic event that took place nearly at the end of the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the way back from Mecca to Medina on the 18th of Dhul-Hijjah, the Archangel Gabriel descended to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and indicated to him that he had to announce the immediate imamate of Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam to the people who were around with him, who were around him. And then, after doing so, after indicating that the next successor, would be none but Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated it and asserted in this way, فَلْيُبَلِّغُ الْحَادِرُ الْغَائِبُ وَالْوَالِدُ الْوَلَدُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Therefore, those who are present should convey this message to those who are absent. And throughout the history, every father should convey this news to his son or to his children, up to the end of the world, up to the day of judgment. So we find that according to the prophetic assertion, it's mandatory for everybody to do it. Well, in order to disseminate the message of Ghadir Khum, some rituals are expected to be held fervently. For example, preparing a meal for other people, or, for example, preparing keepsakes and gifts for our beloveds.
اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا.
This day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion.
الله مولاي وأنا مولى المؤمنين ألا من كنت مولاه فهذا علي مولاه اللهم وال من والاه وعاد من عاداه. أيها الناس الحق دائما مع علي وعلي مع الحق.
We are speaking about Qadir, the day of renewal of the oath of allegiance. It has been narrated from Ammar ibn Haris that he said, I went to see Abi Abdullah, Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, on the 18th of Zulhijjah and found him fasting. He said to me, this is a great day. Allah has magnified the sacredness of this day for the true believers and perfected the religion for them and completed upon them the bounties and renewed the pledge which he had taken from them previously. The aid of the heavens. Imam Reza, Imam Ali Musa Reza, peace be upon him, has said, my father related to me from his father, peace be upon them, that the day of Qadir is more well known in the heavens than it is on the earth.
Alhamdulillahilladhi جعلنا من المتمسكين بولايته علي بن أبي طالب والأئمة المعصومين عليهم السلام.
Acts of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, that prove politics and ethics can be combined. Even with the enemies, he would speak with the logic. One of the characteristics of the political behavior of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, was that he spoke with reason to his enemies and opponents. He even used to reason with Muawiyah during his correspondence with him. Although the enmity between them was fierce, Muawiyah used to write letters to the commander of the faithful in which He would insult him and write things that were not true. After Talha and Zubair pledged allegiance to Imam, they left Medina with the excuse that they intended to go on a Hajj pilgrimage. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, was vigilant. From the beginning, he used to say that they do not intend to go on a Hajj pilgrimage. They left and hatched certain plots. Hazrat said, "Both of you frown over small matters and leave aside big ones." Despite these things, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, spoke in a humble manner to them. He explained that he was not about creating enemies for himself, so he showed tolerance.
Of all Eids is Eid al-Ghadir. Because on this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the religion for us. On this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the religion of Islam for us human beings. It is the greatest Eid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given humanity. On this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded His messenger, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, to appoint the leader who would lead this ummah. To appoint a man who completed the religion of God. The Holy Quran says, on this day the religion was completed. Completed with what? With the authority and the leadership and the wilayah of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. This amazing leader whom we have neglected for 14 centuries. The world has not done justice to this amazing leader whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed for humanity. The commander of the faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi. On that day, on the day of Ghadir, the 18th of the Hajjah, the Messenger of God made a very important prayer. He said, "O Allah, befriend whoever befriends him, support whoever supports him, and be the enemy of the one who is an enemy to Ali ibn Abi Talib." It is our goal in this life to make ourselves, respected brothers and sisters, included in the dua of the Prophet. Because he prayed for everyone who supports Imam Ali. Oh Allah, support the one who supports Ali ibn Abi Talib. How does this journey of supporting the Imam begin? First, it starts by knowing the Imam. Do I really know my leader? The significance and position of my leader, the qualities of my leader, what he represents, what he symbolizes. Do I know this or not? Does my family know this or not? Do my children know this or not? The first step is to know the Imam, to know his contributions. We, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, we speak of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam so proudly. He's a man of accomplishments and contributions to humanity.
That was all from today's special. And for this episode, we spoke about Eid al-Ghadir, greatest Eid of Allah. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.